Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Prikotina, Halacha Dalet, Ois Choftes, Ubenyin Yibum v'Chalitza Shehizkanu Lamala. Regarding the topic of Yibum and Chalitza that we mentioned a little bit earlier, we didn't go into any major discussion about it, Ki Ein Kan Mekoymoi, because this isn't the place where that's the topic, that's the major topic. We're going to have a lot of very interesting information in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer on the topic of Yibum and Chalitza. However, Rav Nosson Sal now is going to give us at least a few comments on this item related to Yibum and Chalitza and some of the other items we mentioned before. V'zehu v'cholzo na'aloi me'al ragloi. It says that she will remove his shoe from his foot. The woman who's doing Chalitza with a man, she removes his shoe. Kishom mekushor nefesh hameis kemuva, because that's the place where the soul of the person that passed, the brother that passed away, is attached. He's attached to the feet of his brother. Ki ikar hapegam beraglin, because the main place of pegam is in the feet. Sheshom tzrichim hadomim leilech keseder kishezoichen loylodo. Because we learned earlier that when the woman gives birth and the blood recedes and it starts flowing normally again, it flows back down to the feet. We had learned when it comes time for her to give birth, the blood rushes up from the feet up to the upper, and that's why her feet become cold at that time. But once she gives birth, the blood goes back down to the feet and everything's okay. Whereas a person who did not leave behind children, he's poigim in this item. Therefore, she takes his shoe off his feet to signify a pigam in that area. This is the reason why the laws of the Torah are called halichoy soilam, the paths of the world, the walkway, in other words, the way that we go. That's also considered to an extent a pigam, leaving this world without having children, but certainly nowhere near as much as if a person has shown intentionally prevents it. Except, again, you have to know that there are certain cases. The Arizal, when he mentions Ben Azai, who, according to one opinion, never got married, or according to another opinion, got married, didn't have children, the Arizal says that in that Gilgul, he did not need that tikkun. He had already completed the tikkun of having children in previous Gilgul. So it seems there is such a possibility also. Ki ikur shleimus sahalocho sheyizke al yodo leilichbo leskar val yodo lashem izboroch lavoidosoi. Because the main shleimus of limur halocha is when the person uses the halocha to know how to walk, you know, to know how to move. Bechinas halichoy soilam sheyizke lishoyer alomdoi bigdusha loilam voed. So that the person should be able to remain steadfast in his place in kedusha all the time. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains a little bit. Notice he wants to highlight very much the importance of the feet here regarding Kedusha, the topic of Kedusha, whether it be the person's own feet, you know, related to the issue of Chalitza and other things, or Bichlal, as we're going to see now. Ki ha'olam bichloloi nikro bichinas raglin negdo yisporach. Because the world is called feet compared to Hashem. As the Pasuk says, v'ho'oretz hadoim ragloi, that the world is the footstool of Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal explains in a chapter in the Kutimran, what does that mean? Kaviochol, generally, we speak about the head as being the deeper part of the person. And the feet represents the shallower part, the you know, less brains, less chachma. The chachma is in the head. When a person does something silly, we say, how come, you know, like you're standing on your head? You know, he's got his feet up and the head down, that kind of thing. So kaviochol, the aspect of Hashem that manifests itself in this world is the lowest part of Hashem. Kaviyachol, the feet of Hashem. You understand? That's the part, the Hashem that we see in this world is the lowest aspect of Hashem in a sense. V'ho isho v'hamomoin sheshom ikar hizgabrus hapulois mishtanois nekroim raglov k'moshikos v'mokmacharim. And Rav Nosson Zal says, so too, a person's wife is also compared to the feet of the person. She stands him up on his feet, in a sense, the Gemara says. And also, the Gemara says in one place, a person should sell everything he has to be zecher to marry a bas Talmud Chacham. And it says another statement in the Gemara, a person should sell everything he has to buy shoes, so that the wife is compared to the shoes. It says that when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take, remove your shoes, because the place that you're standing in is a holy place, the Zohar HaKadosh says Hashem was telling him to separate from his wife. Na'al do itza. The Zohar HaKadosh says the shoe is the wife. She represents the shoes. Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he had to have such a level of closeness with the Shekhinah where his wife would be, chas v'shalom, in a sense, an obstruction. He was the exception to the rule. So we see that the wife is represented by the feet, and the money of a person is represented as represents his feet. There's a pasuk that it says, "Veskol hayikum asher b'raglehem," that the Jews plus all the other things that stood them up on their feet, and the Gemara says, "Zum mamoinoi shelodom shemamido araglam." That refers to their possessions, their monetary possessions. So we see that that's also called feet. This is why the pasuk says, "Hashamayim kisi." Hashem says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So therefore, what kind of house are you going to build for me? You're going to build a house for me? Hashem says, I'm as big as heaven and earth put together. How are you going to house me in any way? Ki ikar tikun kisoy bashamayim, hu daiko alidei horet sadoim ragloi. Rav Nosson Zal says, what is the pasuk showing by saying that? The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. That means that to the extent that we make a tikkun for the footstool, to that extent we make a tikkun for the throne of Hashem. Depending on what we do on earth, that determines the status of the throne of Hashem. Alidei shehoraglin shehem hamadregois hatachtoinois moid, through the feet, which represent the lowest levels of kedusha, sheshom ikur ribui hapulois mishnanois, that's where you have the most differentiation. Kishehem nichlolim bachdusa yisporach, when the feet are nichlal in the oneness of Hashem, bebechinas Hashem bashamayim hechen kisoi. There's a pasuk that says that Hashem has prepared his throne in heaven, but his kingdom rules everywhere. The throne is only up on top in the penthouse, but Hashem's malchus is bakoil mashola, everywhere, even in the lowest levels. Shedaiko kisheyoidin shemalchusay bakoil mashola. It's only when a person really understands that Hashem's malchus is everywhere, even in the lowest places, meaning even, let's say, by the goyim or in Rome, let's say, where it appears as if lahavdil Hashem is least respected and Hashem is least in charge. We know that it's not true at all. Hashem is completely in charge of every move that's going on there. It's just beseser. It's just in hidden form. V'chol ha'pulois mishtanois mimenu yizborach. And when the person realizes that all the pulois mishtanois are all coming from Hashem, azay daiko bashamayim heichin kisoi, then that person gets credit for establishing Hashem's throne in heaven. Because we know always there's a pasuk, Hashem tzilcho, Hashem is my shadow, Hashem is my shade. The Baal Shem Tov says that the word tzel also means shadow, that kavyochel, every move we make on earth causes a move on the part of Hashem. We do tikkunim on earth and we make the difference in the throne of Hashem up in heaven.
Also true the other way, that's what Shalom, that if you do averus, then...
Yes. Vezehu bechinas hamishkon ubeis hamikdosh. This is also the concept of the mishkon and the beis hamikdosh. They also represent this concept of the feet of Hashem. Bebechinas, as we say, roimemu Hashem alekenu, give praise to Hashem, vehishtachavu lahadoim raglov, and bow to Hashem's footstool. And the Gemara says that refers to the beis hamikdosh. Vezehu bechinas mashekosuv biksovim. And this is also what's written in the writings of the Arizal, Sheikr Gmar Hatikun Yihye Kishayiskaim Va'omdu Raglov Bayoim Hahu. that the main tikkun of the world is going to be completed when the Pasuk says that when Mashiach is going to come, his feet are going to stand on Har HaZeisim. Question is, why does it say Va'omdu Raglo Bayomahu? The Arizal and Sifrei Kabbalah explain, this means when the Raglin will have an Amida, when the feet will be established, the Kedusha will reach all the way down to the feet. Ad demoti raglin baraglin, until the feet will have the tikkun bishleimus. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier, that's the ikar, the halocha, the halichos. Valkein ikar hatikun alidei kol hanal. Therefore, the main tikkun is based on what we've learned earlier, shehu bechinas toido halocha, which was a combination of two items, this issue of toida, thanking Hashem in the biggest way, and the issue of halacha, the limud of halachos. Bechinas halicha soilam loy, bechinas tikkun raglin v'kanal. This is the end of this piece. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go off a little bit onto another topic and show how that's connected to that the chapter on the Kutuman that we're learning now, about toida and everything.
I feel like a little hanging there.
This isn't the place for it. In other words, what we need to know is that the main tikkun for the neshama and for the nefesh is related to the feet. And that's why when there's a situation like this where somebody leaves the world without, we see that what something related to the feet has to be done. And that's this super importance of shoes, where the Gemara says, sell everything you have, make sure you have a good pair of shoes. And that's why the feet have to be covered at all times. There's many, and that's why it says, Moshiach's coming is dependent on the Vamdu Raglov. We're going to see more about it.
This idea of having your feet covered by shoes, it's included like sandals.
Sure. The answer is, in places where that's the custom, it's acceptable, according to Halacha. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to go to a topic in Choshen Mishpat called apotropos. Apotropos means where a guardian is appointed to execute a will, specifically. And here's he's going to deal with the guardian. There's two types.
Executor of the estate.
Exactly, the executor of the estate. It's a combination of executor and guardian, as you'll see soon here, for children. This is brought in Halacha, that this is a very important item. For a person to prepare this, you know, and to know who and what. And if the person didn't do it himself, then Beis Din does it for him. In other words, if he left over an estate and left over children that aren't in a position to manage it themselves, Beis Din appoints an apotropos. And there are different laws as to the status of this guardian or executor, whether he was appointed by the father himself, or the, you know, the leader of the estate, or if Beis Din appointed him. We're going to see there are some differences.
Beis Din, and if a person dies intestate without a will, serious implications of dollars going to the wind and desires not being carried out. So just to mention, a simple will or one-page will, everyone should limp this to not secure, is very important.
For sure. There's a very famous story with Rav Nosson Zal. Some of the trouble that Rav Nosson Zal had in life came because of this issue about not himself, but students of his who and associates that didn't leave a will, and it created different kinds of problems, big problems. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom razal b'mishnah. This is what the Gemara says in the Mishnah. Apotropos sheminehu avi yisoymim. An apotropos, a guardian who was appointed by the father of the orphans, lo yishba. He does not have to swear. If he says that this and this happened, he doesn't have to swear to substantiate what he said. Because if the father trusted him and appointed him during his lifetime, then we give him certain trustworthiness also. Whereas, minehu Beis Din, if Beis Din took a guy off the street and said, we designate, since the father did not appoint an executor of the will, we're appointing you, then he has to swear under certain circumstances. If certain things are contested or debated, he's got to swear. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain some very interesting things related to this, because we touched on the topic of Yerusha earlier, inheritance, and how that's related to the feet. Rav Nosson Zal says now, ki kvar mavur inyan hayerusha sheshayach labonim, because we explained way back a couple of pages ago how inheritance is shayach to the children, because we had shown how the money comes from the toimche oiraisa, which is the feet. We said the supporters of Torah represent the feet, and that's the children also. The children, the hoilada comes from the feet, as we showed. Ki hoilada sabonim nimshach al yedei mamoin digdusha shel hatoimche oiraisa shemisham kol hamamoin shaboilam kanal. Because the concept of bringing children into the world is affected by the holiness of the money, when money being used properly, which means especially for supporting Torah. And that concept of supporting Torah is a concept of feet, toimche oraisa, the legs that uphold the Torah. Just like in the Oren Kodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had those two poles on the side which they used to carry it. Many of the Mefarshim explain, why do they have that? The Badim of the Oren, those represent, all you needed was a box to keep the Luchos in. What do you need those poles for? And you can carry a box. You don't need poles to carry a box. The answer is that's to show these Zvulons, the supporters of Torah, they're represented by those two poles by which the Oren was carried. Those two poles correspond to the two legs. That's called the legs of the Torah. The support of the body is the legs. Just as the concept of giving birth is very much tied into the legs, the strength of the legs pushing forth, bringing forth the child. Ki ikar hachiyuv lahashir bonim hu rak bishvil zeh. Because the main reason why a Jew is commanded to leave behind children is for this purpose. Kedei shehabonim shenoyldu al yedei hahalochos, shenoyldu al yedei toimche oraisa, so that these children who are born as a result of the halochos, which result from the support of Torah, shemishom kol ha'hoilodoi sheboilam kanal, that's what brings about the possibility of giving birth bechlal in Klal Yisrael. It's dependent on this issue of the halochos and the toimche oraisa, so yamshichu kol hatikunim hanemshochim al yidei ha'hoilochos. It's the reason for bringing children into the world is so that those children should bring forth the tikunim that come forth from the halochos, shehem bechinas toido hoido, which is this concept of giving thanks to Hashem. As we saw that Mizmor L'Soido, the paragraph Mizmor L'Soido ended with the words Vador Vador Emunosoi, that from generation to generation, the purpose of bringing children is for this Mizmor L'Soido, this new thing. Shehu Lohoyer Ho Emes Boilam, which is to shine the truth into the world. Ulahashlem Adibur, and Bizecha thereby to a Shlemus Hadibur. To the extent where the person is zeicha to reveal the oneness of Hashem from the pulais mishtanos. Again, this is a pyramid that's built in that chapter on the Likutei Moran, Torah Beis, Yemei Chanukah. Rabbein Zal there shows how each one of these items results in the next item. Sheheim habonim shel zera Yisrael shenisrabu boilam, referring to the children, the Jewish children that multiply, that are brought into the world. Shekol ma shemisrabim biyoser zera Yisrael, the more you have Jewish children shemisrabim bohem shinoi hadeyos ma'oid kanal, where each one is of a different opinion and there's a tremendous amount of differences in how they think about things and how they see things. Ukshekulam nechlolim b'deya achas, and when all of them unite together in one thought, umeyachdim shmo yizborach, and they all declare shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, aydeze mezgala b'yoser achdus haposhut mitoch pulois mishunois harbe moed. Then you have the oneness of Hashem being declared and revealed from a tremendous variety of pulois mishtanois, people that think differently and created, act differently. Sheze ikar yikras kedushas hagdolas kvodis baruch kanal. We said that this is one of the greatest ways of bringing kavod to Hashem, when a lot of different people are able to all unite and declare the oneness of Hashem, all accept, all come together on one item, faith in Hashem. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Vze bechinas ma shehabonim oimrim kaddish achar misas aviem v'imam. This is also the reason for the tefillah of kaddish, which is said when a father, especially when a parent, passes away. Watch him explain now, based on this chapter in Likutei Moran, something very interesting, because there's a question that everybody asks. If you look in the Kaddish prayer, you don't see any mention of daddy or mommy or brother or death, and nothing. There's none of that is discussed in the Kaddish at all. How is Kaddish in any way related to the topic of somebody dying? Rav Nosson Sal is going to explain it here beautifully. Because Rabbeinu Zal had said in this chapter on Likutei Moran that what is Olam Haba all about? Olam Haba is giving praise to Hashem. The Iker Shiashiv, the only korban that's going to be around in the future is the korban Toida, we said, right? Which means Toida is the item of the future. The future is represented by Toida, which means praise of Hashem. Praise and thanks to Hashem. Because this person that passed away, his main objective and mission is to get to Olam Haba, right? That's our main interest for a Jew who dies is to get him into Olam Haba. We learned before that what is Olam Haba all about? Praise and thanks to Hashem. We said that's how you draw upon yourself the holiness of Shabbos, which is synonymous with Olam Haba, and that's why if you look at the Friday night davening, number one, that special hoidu that Nusach Sfarad says, hoidu Lashem kitoiv ki leolam chazdo, you know, which when we come into shul before mincha on Friday night, that special hoidu. That's the epitome of giving thanks to Hashem. That's describing and reviewing all the most difficult situations that a Jew could find himself in. Prison, illness, you know, the storms at sea, all the four different possibilities, and thanking Hashem for rescuing us from all of that. We end off by saying, Mi chocham v'yishmoreila v'yizboinenu chaz de Hashem. Which person will review this and think into this, you know, and realize the awesome kindness of Hashem. That's how we introduce the Shabbat. And also the whole L'chun Aranano, until Baruch Hu, all of those paragraphs are all 100% praise of Hashem. Shir L'Hashem, Shir Chodosh. All of that is just praises and praises of Hashem. Why? Because that's what helps you draw the Kiddush of Shabbos upon yourself. We had said that this is the main reason a Jew comes to this world, to reveal the oneness of Hashem. Therefore, after a person passes away, they have to get somewhere. Where's the address they're trying to get to? They're not trying to get to Tel Aviv. They're trying to get to Olam Haba, an address called Olam Haba. What is Olam Haba? Bechina Shiashu Olam Haba, the main pleasure of Hashem, of Olam Haba, Shehu Lohoidois Ulahalel Lishmo Yisborach, which is to give praise and thanks to Hashem. Al Kain Oimrim Habonim Achrov Kaddish. It's for this reason that when the parent passes away, the children say Kaddish afterwards. She'enoi tefila al ames. Kaddish is not a tefila that discusses dead people, the death or dead people anyway. Rak shevach v'hoido niflo v'noiro l'ashem yizborach kemuva. It's just one of the most spectacular tefilos of praise to Hashem that the Jewish people possess, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah. Ki Kaddish koilel kol mine shvachim ubrochos voidois v'chula. Kaddish includes in it all kinds of tremendous praises of Hashem. Ki hu shevach niflo v'noira ma'oid. It's an unbelievable, awesome type of praise. De tovar kol gzizin de parzala, which breaks through all chains of metal chains even. It's brought that if there are metal chains blocking the dead person from getting to Gan Eden, Kaddish is so powerful a tefillah, it can crash through those metal chains. Kemuva b'zoyer HaKadosh, as is brought in Zoyer HaKadosh. Ukemay shekosuv, and as we say in Kaddish, Yisborach, v'yishtabach, v'yispoer, v'yisroimam, v'yisnasei, v'yishador, that's all praising. He should be praised and exalted and elevated. Berichu, Hashem is blessed. Le'ela min kol berchoso v'shiroso tush berchoso. Hashem is above all blessings, all praises. This is the ultimate in praise. Valkein oimrim kaddish. Okay, so that's why we say kaddish when a person passed away. Because when a person's passing away, he's trying to get to Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba all about? Praise of Hashem. So the kids give him a shove. The kids give the parents a shove by saying spectacular praise of Hashem on behalf of this person who passed away. By doing that, you're getting him to where he's supposed to get to. You're shoving him into that location that's called praise of Hashem, which is Olam Haba. V'alkein oimrim kaddish achar kol habrochois v'hahoidois. And this is also the reason why kaddish is situated at the different points that we find it in our tefillos, after Volotzion, after Yishtabach, after, you know, all the different places. Specifically after blessings and praises of Hashem, v'chein achar kol ha-halochos shalomdim. And so too, after people learn a shir in halacha or gemara, they say kaddish afterwards. Ki hu amud shebein oilam loilam kemuva. Because it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah that Kaddish is like the Gesher, it's the pillar in between worlds. Whenever you want to go from one world to the next world, from Yetzira to Bria, you say a Kaddish over there. That's why after Karbonos in the morning, they say Kaddish before Hoidu. That's when you're going from Asiya into Yetzira. After Yishtabach, they say a Kaddish when you're going from Yetzira into Bria. And then after Shmon Esrei, at Gaal Yisrael, we do not say a Kaddish, because that's Atzilus. Over there, there's no, it's above everything else. And in general, the Arizal shows how every time the Kaddish is positioned within our tefillos in a way that's the thing that makes the leap from one world to the next. Ki Kaddish koilel kol ha-hoidois va-shirois va-tishbochois. Kaddish is the composite of all praises and thanks of Hashem. Umale kulon l'sharoshon ho'elyoin le'elo le'elo adein soif. And Kaddish elevates all the different worlds till the ultimate high of infinity. V'alkein zeh ha'niftar. Therefore, this person who passes away, shekol tikunoi, whereby his entire tikun is dependent upon, sheyiskabetz chelkei atoiv sheboi kfima shezochel asis toiv boilam, that all of his good points, all the good things that person did during their lifetime, should gather together, shekol hatachlis hu hoido, of which the totality, the ultimate purpose of it all, is praise of Hashem, shehu shiashu olam haba, which is the pleasure of olam haba, shetzorech atoy lovo lazeh, which is where this guy wants to get to now, that's where this person needs to get to, sheyeloi eze chelek b'shiashu olam haba, that the Nifter should be zecher to have their portion in Olam Haba, Shehu Hoido Kanal, which is praise of Hashem. Olam Haba is praise of Hashem. Al Kain Bono Avoyimur Machrov Kaddish. This is why the children say Kaddish. Shehu Klolius Kol HaHoidois VaShirois VaTishbochois. It represents the ultimate summary of all super praises of Hashem. Umale kulam kanal, and it elevates all the praises of Hashem, all the mitzvahs that the person did their entire life. V'alkein aydeze daika habonim mezakim esaviim loylam haba. That's why it's this item specifically, the children saying kaddish. That's what helps get the parent in toylam haba. Ki shevach v'hoido ze kol shiashu loylam haba kanal, because praise of Hashem, that's what Olam Haba is all about. It's Korban Toida, period. V'alkein ho'ikr shehabonim daiko yoimru kaddish. And that's why the most important ones that should be saying the kaddish are the children. Ki ikr tikunoi alidei bonov daiko. Because we learned earlier that the main tikkun is through the children. Shezocha lo'hilat bo'ilam, that he was zocha to bring into the world, ulahar bo'i zera Yisrael, and to increase the amount of people in Klal Yisrael, shekulam oiskim kol yameim bo'i do'is ubrochis, who are all involved their whole lives in saying blessings to Hashem and praises to Hashem. Ki kol echot miYisrael oimer b'chol yoim brochos voidois harbe. Because each and every single Jew makes a lot of brochos and praises of Hashem every day. Kasher tikno lano chazal loimar brochos voidois al kol dover sheboilam. As we find, the rabbis have instituted that a Jew is supposed to make a bracha for every single thing and praise Hashem for every, praise Hashem for the good, praise Him for the bad, make a bracha for the, you know, everything, everything. Ubifrat baboiker uberev beis hatfilin, especially in the morning and evening in the davening. Ki hahoido hu kol shiashoilam habakanal, because praise is the entire pleasure of oilam haba. Vaideze nistakim kol hatikunim anal. Ad shezrichen legalis achtus haposhut me riboy pulas mishtanois, sheze nasa ide riboy habonim shezrichel hoilid ide toida halacha kanal. All of this is accomplished by the children who were born through the toida halacha, which results in this pulas mishtanois being nichlal in the achtus haposhut, al kein habonim daiko oimrim kaddish. That's why it's bedafka the children that are supposed to say the kaddish. Shehu klolius kol haidois, kedei lahalois kol habrochois vahaidois, shezocho zeh anifter lasik v'mechayev, because the kaddish that they say serves as a rocket that pushes up with it all the brochois and haidois that nifter said during his entire lifetime. Kaddish represents a supercharged rocket that pushes all of that up, that gets all of it to go where it's supposed to. Ki ikur hatikun al yedei habonim shenoildu al yedei zeh. The main tikkun is through the children that were born through this person. Sha'al yodom daikom mizgala b'yoyser achtus haposhut mitoich riboy pulois mishtanois. We learned earlier that the concept of bringing children into the world, each child represents billions of pulois mishtanois, the body, you know, and a second child, and how different two kids are from each other. So each time a person does that, he brings another child into the world, and these super different children are all uniting on the oneness of Hashem. That's the ultimate tikkun. Sheze iker gemar shleimus hatikkun v'kanal. V'alkein tzorich kol echod b'chayov koidim shemistalik min o'ilom letzavois lebonov. And it's for this reason that every single Jew has a responsibility during his lifetime to declare a will, you know, to give instructions to his children, ulesader seder chalukas nechosov u'mamoynoi levonov, and to organize the dividing up of his possessions and everything among his children. Ki ikar shoyrish hamomoin v'tikunoi hukifim ha-shezocho lismoich talmid ha-chomim amitim. Because the main origin of money, the source of money in Kedusha, is to the degree, to the extent that a person was zoichet to support Torah during his lifetime, that's the extent to which he has any real wealth. So that all the possessions that the person has and all the money that he has, in a positive sense, in a holy sense, all draw their holiness, their constructiveness, from the money that he's had in his life that he used to support Talmidei Chachamim. Shal yodom noildu halachos. Through the fact that he supported Talmidei Chachamim, that gave them the ability to bring forth new Torah, new halachos in Torah. Shemishom kol hoilodai sabonim. And that resulted in children coming into the world. The children that are born as a result of the halachos we learned earlier. The halachos are the legs, the toim chayraisa, which this person's money supported. So that his kids came, in a spiritual sense, their hatzlocha and their spirituality, their goodness, comes from the money that he gave to the Talmidei Chachamim, you know, to support the Torah. The kol echot miYisrael yesh loy chelik boze kefi bechinosoi, and each and every single Jew has a portion in this, each one on his level. The alkein tzorech lesader lefi bechinosoi seder chalukas mamoynoi levonav achrov. Therefore, a person, each and every person on his level, has a responsibility to organize the dividing up of his monies and possessions among his children. Sheikabel kol echot chelkoi koroi kefi shoyresh chelkoi lamal about time chayraisa, so that each and every child should receive his appropriate portion based on the extent that that child is connected to the Talmidei Chachamim, Shemoylid and Alochos, who are bringing forth the Halochos into the world, Shemisham Kol Hailadosai. That's how this child was born. Shaydezeh Kol Tikun Haniftar. And this is all tied into the tikkun of the person who passed away. Again, going back to what we learned earlier about, we're talking about the Niftar getting into Olam Haba. Olam Haba is praise of Hashem. We saw that, and that the main praise of Hashem is when the Achdus HaPoshut is Nizgala from Pulois Mishtanois. And we learned earlier that that's dependent on bringing children into the world. And bringing children into the world is dependent on the Halochos, the legs, the Toim Chiyaraisa. And that's dependent on the money that a person gives to support them. So it's all tied in and all interconnected. So now, when a person is going to divide up money among the kids, in order to do it correctly and properly, he would have to know the exact connection of each kid, in what manner and to what extent each kid is connected to these Toim Chiyaraisa from which the Hoylodah came from, etc., etc. Or he would have to pray to Hashem that Hashem should give him the wisdom to do it the right way, where all the tikkunim that need to be made by doing it should be accomplished. It's not stam a thing. Well, I decided to give this one. What are you talking about? You decided. This isn't monopoly money. This is real money. This money could be used to accomplish mitzvot and ma'asim tovim, and this money is needed for your tikkun neshama. If Hashem dumped this money on you, if Hashem gave you this money, these possessions, He didn't give it to you stam. He gave it to you because it's necessary for your tikkun neshama, if it'll be used properly. If it's going to be used properly. Now again, each child needs a different amount in many cases, dependent on what it, the shorish neshama is and everything, and depending on where it comes from, etc. How in the world could a person expect to know this, etc.? For this we have a Torah. The Torah gives us certain basic parameters to work with. The rest, a person has to daven to Hashem, a person has to beg Hashem that each penny should get to where it's supposed to get to, so that I should get the tikkun that I need to get to. Very simple. Lahavdil, person, you know, goes to a hotel, and in order to get into the hotel, you have to pay this cost and this cost. There's three different costs. What happens if you only pay two out of the three? Then you don't get in. What do you mean? But I paid. Yeah, you paid. You paid two out of the three. No big deal. Or a person wins the lottery. And in order to prove they won the lottery, they had to do three things. Sign their name on this thing and do that. And the person did two out of three. And the person is screaming hysterically, but I did it. And they say, sorry. Well, after all, here it's the same thing. You have a safe. In order to open the safe, you have to turn four numbers. What happens if you only know three out of the four? The answer is the safe remains locked. In order for the neshama to have its tikkun, the parent that's going to be passing away to have its tikkun, each penny has to be in the right place. Every prut, every coin, each child has to have exactly what they're supposed to have in order that the tikkun for the neshama, the nifter, should happen the right way. To some extent, Hashem organizes it. To some extent, those that are religious have to pray to Hashem and should get what they're supposed to get, that kind of thing. Because it is a very... We're going to learn this section, Choshen Mishpat, this section of Shulchan Aruch. In other words, Judaism, 25% of Judaism at least is money. The Shulchan Aruch is divided into four sections, Zohar Chaim, Yerodeah, Evan Ezra, Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat is the fattest section of the Shulchan Aruch, dealing with money matters. Why? Because Jews love money? Baloney. Because money is Kodesh Kochim. Money is one of the holiest items in creation, and therefore can also be one of the most destructive items. And we're going to learn how many things are dependent on money, how many tikkunim, spiritual tikkunim, are dependent on money, and money being placed the right way. The Meister and the Truma. What if you give the Meister before the Truma? You're making a mess. The tikkun won't happen.
In the case of someone dying, and they leave behind an organized will, what kind of effect does this have on the person who...
The answer is, it can cause the fact that his neshama should not have its tikkun at all, or that his tikkun should take 300 years instead of 3 years.
Even though he lechatchila organize himself?
Yes, if he did it the wrong way. If he did it the right way.
But after he died, the family misappropriated him.
Ah, that's also a delicate item. That's also a very delicate item. That what if a person writes a will and everything, and then something happens, the money gets misappropriated. It could affect the taking of his neshama, most definitely. Because here we're being shown that the children and the money are tied together, and it's tied together to the tikkun of the niftar. The toim chiyoraisa, the legs, the hoiloto, the izgalos to the achdus haposhut, all tied together.
Would you be better off putting it directly to a torah?
We're being shown here, certain aspects of the tikkun are dependent bedafka on the children. And the children come from the Torah. The children come from the Torah. We were shown that the birth of children comes from the toim chiyoraisa. When a woman gives birth, the blood rushes from the feet upwards towards the heart. It rushes the heart when she's getting ready to give birth. When she gives birth, the blood recedes back down to the feet. That was called the halichoi sadamin. The blood goes back to its normal halicha. And that results in hoilodo. Rabbein Azal had explained in that chapter in the Kutei Maran those halichois of the blood, that flowing of the blood, is dependent on halachois. Who are the ones who bring forth halachois? The Talmid HaChomim. What gives them the ability to bring forth the halachois? The Toim Chai Raisa. The support that they're given is what gives them the ability to bring forth the halachois.
And he brings children into the world.
In a physical level and in a spiritual level. We're talking about Hoylodo Digdusha. We understand that there's children and there's children. And there could be billions of factors that go into, we've mentioned earlier, that the thoughts that the husband and wife think at the time of the, has bearing on what on the Hoylodo to an extent. You understand what kind of neshama? The type of support of Torah, both in quantity and quality, etc., are things that have direct bearing on this issue of Hoylodo. In this chapter, Nikut HaMan, that we're talking about, Rabbein Azal proves it from Psukim and Gemorais. We didn't give you all the connections. He shows all the connections between the two things. Because the legs are called Netzach and Hoid, al pi Kabbalah, and the concept of Toim Choyoraisa is also this concept of Netzach v'Hoid. The Vovei Ho'amudim, it's called in the Mishkan.
His chus has, doing in his mitzvahs has to do with how he brings children into the world, and then he carries them even further in how he supports them by giving them his mamon.
Exactly.
To carry them even further in continuing the Masorah of Yiddishkeit.
Exactly. And in making a tikkun for him, and they are part of his tikkun. He needs them afterwards when he leaves the world. Part of his tikkun is dependent on them. And in order for them to participate in that, he has to make sure to give them what they need. You understand how? You buy a car. You spend $5,000 to buy the car. Wonderful. Okay, now I have it. Now it should run all the time. I paid for it already. No, you got to pay for delic. And you got to put the delic in. And you got to maintain the car and test it. Lahavdil. Same thing here. You already did everything to have the kid. Not finished yet. There's maintenance. There's all the whole support of the child while you're living. And then after you pass away, you have to make sure to have appropriated your possessions properly among the kids in order for them, besides fixing themselves up, part of your tikkun, a major part of your tikkun, is dependent on them.
It's like by having kids, I now have an achrayas to keep carrying that forward. If I fulfill that achrayas and the kids then come out as they should, then it gives me the source that I ought to have in order to give me that aliyah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Why does the opposite not apply in terms of kiddush? If a parent, Chas v'Shalom, has to bury a child,
yes.
Why does the opposite not apply in the case of the kiddush? Why a parent doesn't have the
parent does say kiddush for the child?
Sure, but the power of the kiddush doesn't have the same force as it does a child saying of a parent. I think they read it from David HaMelech, no? There was some case there with.
By Dovid HaMelech, we see that it did have tremendous effect. When Dovid HaMelech screamed, Avshalom, Beni, Beni, my son, each time he said the word my son, he bumped Avshalom up from a level of Gehenna. Avshalom had been put into the seventh level of Gehenna down. And he said the word Beni eight times, and he took him into Gan Eden, literally, with his tefillah.
Rapilonte, that was only because of his particular level
right.
of...
Whereas normally we say that a father's mitzvahs do not help a son.
Right.
A child's mitzvahs help the father. A father's mitzvahs do not help the child. Like Yitzchak and Esav. Yitzchak's zuchus cannot help Esav. Interesting, just a side note, once we mention this issue of appropriating, a person when dividing up inheritance generally is not supposed to differentiate at all among the kids so as not to arouse any jealousy. So the question is, hold on a second. Then from the start, if I'm going to give each kid $1,000, then right away I'm assuming that they're all identical when I'm being shown here, but on the contrary. The answer is, what the person is supposed to do is, again, to tell Hashem clearly that I know that this is not the proper chalukah. I know that each child is a different neshama from a different place, and each child needs a different amount of money. But because I don't have that knowledge, and I have no way of knowing how to do it, I have to play by the basic rules so as not to arouse any jealousy. I'm asking you, Hashem, to make whatever needs to happen, that whatever needs to change hands, so that it should be reorganized in a manner that each one has what they need to accomplish the tikkun that's needed for my neshama. For my neshama, besides for their neshamas.
Then there's the concept of the double portion of the...
Bechor, of course. V'alkein tzorich limnois aputropis biatzmai bechayev. It's for this reason why a person is supposed to designate an executor of their will during their lifetime. Ki hu aputropus hamemun al hayisoimim. Interesting, this is one of the things that Rav Nosson Zal was zeicha to. And he writes a lot about it, that right after Rav Nosson Zal passed away, he did not live in the same city as Rav Nosson Zal. He lived in Breslau. And one of the things that forced him to go to Uman and to at the time shortly after Rabbeinu Zal passed away was that he was given the responsibility of executing Rabbeinu Zal's will. And there were a lot of issues there. There were monies to be given to different people and everything. And he writes in a few different places how much he worked at it, how serious a responsibility that was, and how much he traveled and went through all kinds of things to collect monies that were owed to Rabbeinu Zal from different people, and to make sure to appropriate to each child what Rabbeinu Zal had designated, all kinds of different things. Ki hu apotropos hamemun al hayesoimim, because the guardian, or the executor who's appointed over the orphans, shehu bechinas avi yesoimim, he is, in a sense, the parent of these orphans, when their own parent leaves. Tzorich sheyismane mi pi avi abonim biatzmoi. He should preferably be designated by their father, by their original father. If the father himself designates the apotropos, then the assumption is that the father spoke to the apotropos, so they've lived together. And this guardian, this executor, knows the father well and knows what the father would want. So that if there's any situations that come up that aren't clear in the will, he can say, I know that your father would have wanted you to have this, and you know, that kind of thing. He's given that authority and that power, and he'll divide it according to the das of the father, to the extent that the father drew upon himself these tikkunim of toido and hoido during his lifetime, to the extent that the father was zecha during his lifetime to be from the supporters of Torah, shezeh kol tikkun hamamoin, which is the main tikkun for his money, shemishom hoilodah sabonim, which is what generated the birth of the children. So that's the most preferred way.